Find people that have experience. Find people that can give you a well-rounded environment. That's the thing. Even though we're a kickboxing academy, we work a lot of wrestling, a lot of jiu-jitsu. I surround myself with the right assets to make us well-rounded. Me, W's are W's. If it's from a takedown, if it's from a submission, or it's from outboxing someone, I don't care. That's the biggest thing. And the other thing too is find, I know it's hard if you're the guy who's never produced someone, but if you're looking to fast track your career, go right away to the House of Champions. That's what you're gonna do the best. That's what I did when I went to Thailand. I went to one of the best camps ever in Sitchatam. I tried a gym for 2 days before that, and it was a terrible experience. I won't say the gym in Bangkok, terrible. I go to Sitchatam, and I had an incredible experience. Same thing, you want to find people that can fast track your career. Because you know what? My biggest advice to every athlete, tick tock, the clock is ticking. You only have so many years as a youthful person, man or woman, in the sport that you can, gain success.
That was head coach of Rufus Sport and one of the best minds in the MMA coaching space, Duke Rufus, talking about the importance of having the right team around you to succeed as a fighter. With time being a very real factor in a competitor's career trajectory, aligning yourself with a team that has the experience and level of training partners required to prepare you for facing the world's elite is a major asset. One of the most important factors to the success of a team is the style of leadership employed by the coaches, and particularly the head coach. My name is Jesse Day, and this is the Fight IQ Podcast, where we examine the mindset of world-class combat sports athletes and their coaches to extract gems of wisdom we can all apply to our lives. Fight IQ drops every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time at fightiqpodcast.com and wherever podcasts are found online. What are the most effective leadership styles when it comes to coaching combat sports athletes, and how much does the team dynamic really play a part in the overall success of a fighter? I think any high-level competitor would tell you just how essential their coaches and training partners are to their forward momentum, but what are the ingredients that make the difference between a world-class team and an amateur one? Today we're going to break down clips from fighters and coaches to learn how their team dynamic allows them to flourish in the ring. It's all about leadership in action on Fight IQ.
Is it important to be a fighter before being a coach, or when we are a fighter before being a coach, can we give something more to people?
Yes, there's definitely more to give if you have experienced it. Yeah, the experience, the intangible, there's a lot more insight you can give. So, and then also, whether you can give more or not, your students, your members are going to respect you more because you have been there, you have done that, you've been through that. So I feel that the students respect me more because I have had a long history and somewhat of a successful martial art career. So there is more value to me coaching. And then, of course, I'm very detailed and analytical in my stuff, and I care about my students. I'm very passionate and emotional with what I do, which also helps me personally and helps my students as well. But for me, coming up, when I was training with people, I took like Boss Rutan's advice more to heart because I personally felt he's been through it. So his coaching meant more to me than some of the other coaches who have not fought.
At the core of any great team is the head coach, and it goes without saying that an effective coach commands the respect of the fighters he works with. That was former MMA fighter and current renowned head coach Dwayne Bang Ludwig talking about how his past experience as a fighter helps him to relate to his students and impart them with practical advice that they will trust in. They trust him because he has been through the fire, through every part of the process. The diet, the weight cut, the hard training, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. Every combat sports athlete goes through these things, and to have a coach who can see it from your perspective is incredibly valuable in those moments. Now, definitely every great coach doesn't have to have been an ex-fighter, and we only need to look to people such as Firas Sahabi and Greg Jackson to prove that point, but it helps tremendously to have a deep understanding of the vulnerability that a human being goes through when engaging in combat in front of a crowd for money. This understanding is undoubtedly one of the reasons why Dwayne is such an effective coach. The bond he is able to build with his fighters runs deep because he has been one of them. Isn't it often said that the greatest generals lead from the front? That the troops around him become inspired with confidence and courage when they see him in the thick of battle? Being a former pro fighter is about as close as you can get to having that kind of aura as a coach. You can't get inside the ring with your fighters, but you can command them from the outside as if you were right there with them, because you have been in that situation many times before. A leader with experience and a proven track record is one who will command loyalty naturally, because other people will want to know, they'll get curious about how that leader got their position, and they wish to eventually emulate them to achieve a similar level of success. Dwayne began his journey as a coach after he retired from fighting in 2012, and his first assignment was as head coach of Team Alpha Male, home to a stable of some of the world's best MMA fighters in the lighter weight classes, such as Uriah Faber and Chad Mendes. Dwayne played a big role in the success of the team, being credited by all the fighters he coached as instrumental to their victories. His main skills were in the striking arts, particularly Muay Thai, but his dedication, passion, and commitment to the athletes he trained made him a natural head coach to the team. He formed a particularly strong bond with TJ Dillashaw, who later went on to become the two-time UFC bantamweight champion, and they began working closely together in the hunt for the title. They ultimately succeeded, and succeeded big time, but tensions were building behind the scenes at Team Alpha Male, and Dwayne was butting heads with gym owner and owner of the team, Uriah Faber. Their disagreements ended up with both Dillashaw and Ludwig separating from the team and continuing to train together. In this time, Dwayne assisted in accelerating TJ's skill set and providing him with the tools that allowed him to win the bantamweight title and compete at the highest levels in the UFC. Although Dillashaw later tested positive for the performance-enhancing substance EPO, relinquished his title, and is currently serving a suspension for his violation, the skills he possesses are undeniable, and Dwayne played a very close role in developing those skills. His bond with TJ was apparent to see when he burst into tears and embraced his protege after he successfully won the UFC title. They appeared to have a deep connection of complete trust and commitment to each other, and that kind of bond allows for a training environment where learning and progression can flourish. Whether you're maybe questioning a leader in your life, searching for one, or trying to become one yourself, the lessons from Dwayne's story can help guide you on your path. Emotional connection and harboring trust with those under your leadership will lay a foundation for the forward progress of the whole team. Despite the difficulties with Team Alpha Male, which don't serve anyone to dive into here, Dwayne handled his coaching responsibilities with a passion and commitment to his athletes. When a leader truly cares about the well-being and progress of those under his command, everyone on the team can be more effective, and morale will soar until everyone is aligned towards the same shared goal.
I really like fighting in that empty crowd. I mean, I wish we could every time. I can hear my coaches just plain as day, and it's just the just the simplest things, you know. You sit there and he, there was one point he had a butterfly guard on me. Something happened. He rolls, he gets his butterfly guard back. I hear, "Old man Willie," he says the four letter word, the P word, pass. And it comes back, because when you're there, the dude regards you, you're thinking posture, punch, you know, do this, do that. But then you hear pass, and your body just passes, you know, and that's why I like being able to hear my coaches. That's why I like being able to hear what they got to say, because a lot of times what they say is the smartest thing for me to do, because I'm thinking punch the shit out of this dude. I'm thinking punch him as hard as you can in the face. And then I hear the old man say pass. And so it makes me just think, oh yeah, you know, he's right. You know, I better pass, and then I can punch him some more. And so I like hearing little things like that. And I like hearing Rolly talk shit. And, I really like that. I really like being able to hear my coaches the whole fight.
This current COVID-19 pandemic we are facing in 2020 has changed a lot of things all over the world. And one of them, of course, is live sports. The UFC took a leap of faith and decided to be the first sport back on TV and on pay-per-view, but of course, events need to be held without any audience in attendance. This makes for a very different environment, and in that clip, you heard surging UFC featherweight contender Bryce Mitchell talking about using that environment to his advantage. He was able to clearly hear all communication from his coaches without the roar of the crowd to contend with, and sometimes their instructions were opposed to his own thinking in the moment. When there is that strong bond of trust built with a coach like we discussed in the previous segment, the fighter is going to default to his corner's instructions. And in this case, it served Bryce very well indeed, as he went on to dominate his opponent and add win number 14 to his as-yet unblemished pro record. That is an incredibly strong mental bond when a fighter follows his coach's instructions instead of his own instincts and does so without hesitation. The story of Bryce Mitchell is one of a rising prospect and submission wizard who has been tearing through the ranks, and at the core of that journey, like with many, almost all successful fighters, is the work he puts in with his team. We spoke about Dwayne and his work in training elite-level fighters, and now we will bring attention to the action on fight night. The coach's importance during training is undeniable, but in the heat of the competition, when fists are flying and tensions are high, can he cut through that tension and keep his athlete calm, focused, and make sure he follows the game plan? This is not the sole responsibility of the coach, but rather a synchronized effort that requires both coach and athlete to be operating at peak efficiency and have an established and clear line of communication. There are two different situations in a fight that require different sets of instructions. One is during the 1 minute break in between rounds on the stool. The other is when the bell rings and the fight is in progress. When it comes to the time in between rounds, if you've been following combat sports for a decent amount of time, I'm sure you've witnessed episodes you might consider bad coaching, where the corner doesn't give much specific instruction and pumps up their athlete by telling them to just get in there and get to work or something along those lines. Is that really bad coaching, though? We who are observing from the outside don't really know that. It is the coach who has been there training with his fighter day in and day out who knows what the fighter needs to hear in that moment. Sometimes they're wrong, but for the most part, I give them the benefit of the doubt. Regardless, the coaches that appear to provide the most valuable feedback give very specific instructions and add in motivational words and reassurance on the side as needed. I think of guys like Uriah Faber and Trevor Whitman here, who are so adept at providing this balance of technical advice along with motivation. When it comes to coaching an athlete as the fight is happening, there are many hurdles here. The roar of the crowd, as we mentioned, can make it very difficult to hear instructions. This is why the legendary Boss Rutten said he loved fighting in Japan, because crowds there are very quiet during the contest. The other obstacle is how much of the advice actually gets through to the fighter in the heat of battle. It's not easy to have your focus on both the opponent in front of you and the voice of your coach as he provides you with instructions. The quiet environment provided by both a Japanese stadium and a post-COVID event setting can be a double-edged sword, as your opponent can hear your corner's instructions as well, but in that environment, I believe it is the fighter who is most in tune with their corner who has the advantage. Bryce Mitchell clearly places value on the advice of his corner over his own ideas or feelings in the moment, and this is more incredible than it seems at first glance. We heard him say his body just naturally passed the guard when his coach told him to pass. He didn't have to process it. This is the result of massive amounts of repetition with the movement and complete faith that his coach knows more than him when it comes to what is best for him during a fight. It is said that the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and I contend that the road to victory is paved with dedication and faith. If you can't have total faith in the direction of someone leading you, you need to ask whether that's because they aren't the right fit for you, or you simply aren't willing to sacrifice your own will for the will of another. That's why it's so important that the will of that coach or the will of that leader is totally aligned with your own mission. When it comes to the most powerful coach-fighter connections, they both want the same end result, and that's for the athlete to win and to stay as healthy as possible while doing so. You need to align yourself with a leader who you can trust to see things more clearly than you in the moment, and if you seek to lead others, you'd better be sure that you have the experience and the emotional capability of connecting with those you lead to make the best decisions possible when you are called upon to do so. But coaching and teamwork is about more than just performing on fight night. It's about supporting each other through difficult times outside of the cage as well.
Do not be afraid. I repeat, do not be afraid to reach out for help. We live in a place where social media, everything is like, I'm a self-made guy, or right. this self-made. It's all lies. If you look, they got a team behind them and they're working. Nobody can do anything by themselves. Like, you might get to a certain point, but then to get over that point, you need help. That's right. Just what it is. And I just, you know, I was shutting out a lot of people, this and that, pushing away people that really, really love me, this and that, and then you got to bless yourself first. You got to be willing to get out the hole first, and then you open up and talk to people. But do not be scared to talk to people. Do not be scared to open your feelings. Do not be scared of being judged. Who cares? If you try to open up to someone and they judge you or they tease you or whatever and so on, then that person not for you. Go talk to somebody else. That person not your real friend, sure. You know, or real family member, whatever you want to call it. But it's just reach out. You just need help, you know. Bless yourself. And then get blessings from other people. That's it. You know, that's it. That my team is super strong in that way. And don't be scared to talk to people. Like a lot of people, we just live in a time where everybody think everything is perfect because what they see on Instagram, people posting pictures and videos that, oh yeah, life is good, life is great, but it's really not. You know, when you get over that fence line, yeah, the grass like green in the front lawn. When you go in the backyard, everything is dead. You know what I mean? The whole grass is dead. Don't be like that. Reach out to people. If you need help, you need help. You know, we're all humans. No one's superhuman. We're all humans. We all bleed. If we're all in here, got cut in the same place in our arm, we all bleed out and die if we don't get medical help. So at the end of the day, don't be scared to ask for help.
Through the ups and downs of life, we generally all fall into states of depression at some point along the way. Sometimes we have to bury this feeling as we go into work and put on a facade that everything is great. This inevitably affects our performance, but for most of us, we don't have to worry about this dip in performance resulting in us being violently rendered unconscious. For fighters, their emotional state can be just as important as their physical one, perhaps even more so. We know that an athlete in peak mental state has an undeniable edge in a competition. When they are able to clear their minds and leave their regular life outside of the arena before it's time to get to work. A solid team and solid coaches can help a fighter greatly by supporting them through the trials and tribulations of life as well as fighting. That clip was former UFC featherweight champion and one of the best to ever step in the octagon, Max Holloway, describing a period of depression he went through and how his team helped him through it. Max has seen and done it all inside the cage, gained the respect of his peers, fans, and media alike, and continues to be one of the top featherweight contenders in the world. But we all know that achievement, recognition, fame, and fortune can just as easily tear a person down as it can build them up. Holloway felt himself growing distant and disconnected from the people around him, and it got to the point where he had to summon up the courage to speak up and seek help from his teammates and coaches. The often intangible but incredibly important aspect of emotional support in an effective team cannot be overstated. This is an aspect that you rarely hear fighters and their coaches talk about. Normally in interviews they will discuss techniques they worked on, training partners they brought in, or other aspects of the fight camp, but those private conversations where doubts are brought to light and personal pain shared between coach and athlete are also vital to long-term success. This goes back to trust and highlights just how important a training environment free of posturing and ego and instead filled with positivity and love is to a fighter. It all comes down to the culture of a gym. Are they dedicated to your spiritual growth? And do they espouse values that encourage open communication? By contrast, some teams can be toxic, with fights breaking out in the gym and bad blood between teammates, creating drama that can oftentimes become destructive. We are far past the era of suck it up and get in there type of thinking, and although some leaders are stuck in that era, we'd all do well to avoid that line of thought whenever possible. Sometimes a fighter does have to use that mental toughness to block out something negative in their personal lives that happens leading up to a fight, but far better is to have coaches and teammates you can confide in help you get past it by providing a different perspective and just listening to a fighter, just lending an ear when they have something to get off their chest. The best leaders can provide insight not only into the shared mission of the team, but also they need to have enough life experience and practical wisdom to be able to provide insight into distressing personal matters that threaten to negatively impact performance. And this means you genuinely need to care about the people you lead and not just wish them well without empathizing with them. Humans can sense a lack of genuineness a mile away, and so real empathy is such a valuable attribute to have at your command. We could all lead better lives by seeking to lend an ear to the struggles of others. Vitor Belfort once said that sharing pain is like giving medicine to others that helps heal their pain, and I think there's a lot of truth to this. A culture that encourages open communication, empathy, and understanding is an effective and powerful environment that allows everyone involved to grow without fear of being judged. The best teammates carry each other and are there for each other through thick and thin and whatever life throws their way. We have come to the conclusion of our look at leadership in action on Fight IQ. I hope, like myself, you've been able to learn something through the wisdom of the martial arts and combat sports athletes, because that's what this show is all about. My name is Jesse Day. You can contact me at info@fightiqpodcast.com or hit me up on Instagram @JesseBDay, @JessesseBDay. I post a lot of combat sports and motivational martial arts content there as well. Fight IQ drops every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pacific time at fightiqpodcast.com and everywhere podcasts are found online, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. We are there. And if you really love the show, do consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/fightiqpodcast, where your contribution can have a direct impact on which topics I choose for this program. Thank you very much, and until next time, I'll see you guys on Fight IQ.